Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Just love the Lord this evening. Just looking forward to a mighty move of God. Hadn't he been wonderful? Isn't he just great? All that God's doing for us. So many, many blessings in his message and his word and that comfort that only he can provide. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. We'll start talking her into it tonight. All right. Absolutely. Most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side? Sister Lori? Definitely. Oh, yes, yes. We're definitely going to pray for her. Anyone else on my right side? Yes, brother.
Do you remember our oldest daughter, Glenn Colorado? Her family's just really under a demonic attack.
Absolutely. Most definitely will. Anyone else on my right side? All righty. Anyone on the left side this evening with a spoken prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Sure will. Yes, brother. Yes. Absolutely. Sure. Most definitely will. Anyone in the congregation? I don't want to miss anyone with a spoken prayer request tonight. All righty. Anyone up on the roster?
Jim, I've been having problems this week, about a week and a half now, but... The doctors just term them as panic attacks, but you see how my tremors are. My tremors get real bad, and then I get tachycardia, whatever that is in the heart, and it's just been bad.
We're going to give it to God.
And I don't want to live like this. You know, no quality of life, and I know that's not what God has in store for me. So y'all help me pray.
Absolutely. You release it to him, and we're going to pray with you.
Okay.
Junior?
Lady at work requested prayer for her son, asked that I request the church to pray for her son. I don't know what all's going on. He's got some psychological issues and maybe some drug issues, but she believes that the Lord can help him, and she's trying to lead him, you know, to the Lord. And he's coming around a little bit, so she wants everybody that will pray. His name is Jonathan.
Jonathan, absolutely.
Girl that I asked prayer for, Connie. I taught her when she was just a little bitty thing. Now she's grown, married, got children. But she's been having seizures. I didn't put everything on there, but she's been having seizures, and she's had a couple of strokes. And they're saying it's something to do with her heart. It's not letting the blood flow go to her brain like it needs to. So she really needs a miracle.
Absolutely, most definitely. Anyone else?
I need to remember Uncle Lee. He's doing much, much better. The COVID, he said he had two really, really bad days last week, but he said that's behind him, so just pray for him that God continue to strengthen the very special unspoken request.
Absolutely. Anyone else? All righty. If you have anyone have an unspoken, also just show by the raising of your hand, God knows. Brother Eddie, I want to ask you if you would lead us in prayer tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your many, many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity.
Yes,
Father, the desire that you give us to come into the house to worship you tonight, Father, I pray that you would see and meet each and every need tonight, God. Every spoken request, every hand that was raised, Father, we turn it over to you, knowing, God, that you're able to move, to touch, to heal, God, in any situation. Father, help us, God, to exert our faith to you, believe and trust in your ability to make a way. Father, we ask that your Holy Ghost would come down tonight and anoint this service. Every part of this service, God, let it be for your honor, your glory. God, anoint and bless the singers tonight as they sing the message that it goes forth. Father, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will, to your word. Father, we'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want to praise his holy name. While you're standing, if you would, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise the Lord. Are you washed in the blood? Praise God. 177. Take up the evening offering. Again, just want to continue just to pray for those special needs. And I know we just had prayer. And just remember our Wednesday night offering that we take up is for our Good Samaritan Fund too. If you have a situation, just be in much prayer for those special situations that comes up. And God knows each and every one of them. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering?
Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's come out this way tonight, Lord. I shall bless all those who are not able to be here, Lord. Uplift them. Uplift their spirit, Lord, especially their souls, Lord. Let them know that you love them. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering, Lord, for the clothing of thy word. Lord, bless those that have to give, especially those who don't. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Told that I was going to have to recruit some of you to move over to our side to make it even. We don't want the ship shifting that away. Y'all remember that now. If it starts to toddle over that way, then y'all better run over here to my side. Okay? I am blessed. You know, in spite, I can't see with these glasses. In spite of everything that I've been through, this week, as I was mentioning a while ago, I'm not giving Satan the praise for any of it, but he spoke to my heart on Sunday night, and I was able to speak to a few people and let them know what I felt like that God would have them to, what God wanted them to know. And I know Satan is fighting me. I know he is. And at least I know I'm on the right side, right? But y'all worship the Lord, and I know you know the words to it. It says, "I am blessed."
Sister Brenda, I woke up Monday morning and it felt better. The swelling had went down, just had just a little bit of swelling in it. Well, as the day went by, it got really bad. I couldn't hardly stand it. Like, I hurt all the way up to my thigh, and it was swollen like it was when y'all seen that picture that I posted that one day. That's the way it looked again. And so my doctor's appointment was yesterday, and he thought I had a blood clot. You seen little spots all over my legs, and I was like, oh Lord, not again, because I've done been down this road before. So I just prayed. I said, God, I'm just believing you, I'm trusting you, there's not going to be one there, it's just swelling. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was. So I thank the Lord, but he said the swelling could last for a couple months, but I'm trusting God that it's not going to be a couple months, because I'm ready to ride my bicycle again. I keep telling Gabe every day, I'm ready to ride a bicycle again. But Sister Linda was talking about how she's been under attack. And so yesterday, Chris come home, and both of his legs were so swollen. And I said, devil, you're a liar. I'm not, we're not having this in our house. You got to go on somewhere. God has a work for us to do, and the enemy knows it. So he's going to try and attack us, but we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. Y'all worship with me. I'm going to sing Because He Lives.
God sent His Son. Yeah.
Song for at least 2 months. Oh, I was kind of hoping that I'd just keep you up here 2 more months and I'd sing that song for you, but since that ain't going to work, we'll try it. People's got joy in your heart.
One day I was walking in a world of fear, no rest for my weary soul. Then I met a man who said he'd be my friend, all my burden he did roll. God took those words inside.
For everything he's done for me. And you know, even when you have a bad day, which I had a bad day yesterday, he's still so good. The bad stuff was my fault, I guess. It wasn't God's fault anyway. Just little things that I just wanted to go back to bed. but God loved me through all of that. And I just appreciate him for everything. Even the bad stuff.
Well, praise the Lord. Can you say amen? I wasn't looking at the congregation, but I felt eyes staring me down. Y'all think she had a bad day because of me, don't you? I had nothing to do with it. Amen. It just happened that I was there, but not the reason. Just I was there to try to get her smiling. And finally, she did crack a smile a little bit. But even through the bad times, somebody said Satan's fighting him, you know. And really, I know that's an aggravating thing, but it's a good sign. Amen. He only fights those who are on the side of the Lord. Doesn't have the need to fight those that he has already won or overcome. So if the devil's after you, you're probably doing something right. You're probably doing something obedient and pleasing unto the Lord, because he's not going to bother those folks too much that are not in the service of the Lord. But I am so glad, amen, to know that there is a Savior. And that precious song that we sang, washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. How many is thankful we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Glory to God. You have your Bibles tonight. Go with us to the book of Isaiah. And I'm going to shed this coat, if that's all right. Feels much better. Good to have Brother Kevin sitting in the congregation with us tonight. He's not real thrilled about it, but he's nevertheless, he's with us for a little while in his wheelchair tonight. From the book of Isaiah, chapter number 58, I want us to focus on verse number 11 tonight. I'm going to only read the verse 11, and then you may be seated. Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse number 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again as we come, Lord, to love you and to thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your many blessings, God, for the opportunity to come to your house to worship tonight. God, thank you for the desire that you placed in our hearts and in our lives, God, to get closer to you, to come and be fed, Lord, with your Holy Spirit tonight. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, speak through this vessel tonight, that you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And again, Lord, we do remember those who are suffering. Many are sick, and so many are afflicted. But Lord, we know that you're a healing Savior, and we know that with your stripes, we have already been healed. Help us to claim that by faith and trust you, Lord, to do miracles in those lives. And we'll be careful to praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Glory to God.
Amen.
I would entitle this message tonight, A Well That Never Runs Dry. A Well That Never Runs Dry. You know, how many would agree with me that the promises of God are so very appreciated? They're wonderful. Amen. We're so thankful for the blessings and the promises that God gives us. But how many knows also that he has placed obligations in our life, direction and teaching that we are to adhere to. Many, many times, in fact, one of the places in the Bible talks about blessings that have been blocked by the sins of people. That's what's blocking blessings. I really believe that God would love to bless the people more than what he does. And it's not because of his inability to bless us. It's because of our inability to be on the receiving ends of blessings, because so many of those blessings we block. And I'm saying we because I'm talking about society. I'm talking about people as a whole, especially nations today are blocking blessings that I believe that God has a storehouse of many, many blessings that he would like to pour out upon us. We find that God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, as he often did during the tribulation times of the Israel. When Israel was in and out of the blessings and the grace of God. Many, many times, and we understand and know this from the very beginning of the children of Israel, when they were released from Egyptian bondage and when they entered into that journey in the wilderness. And sometimes they were obedient unto the Lord, but sometimes and a lot of times they were rebellious and sought to do things their way, and even at times sought after strange gods, something that they could touch, something they could feel, something they could see. And certainly we know that God said that he is a jealous God. We find in this time that the children of Israel were on a fast. A fast sounds like a good thing. And certainly fasting can be a vital, detrimental, and fulfilling blessing thing to do. But even though they was doing a good deed, they were not doing it with the right intent of the heart. Many, many times what comes out of our mouth is not really what is in the heart. So many times in the world today, people will speak from just their lip service, really not indulging or declaring what is in the heart. So I likened it kind of like, and this is kind of a not really, really good analysis or example, but say that your wife wants to fix her husband a meal, a big meal, and that's great, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't your husband like for your wife to come up and say, you know what, honey, I know you've been working hard, I'm going to fix you a fantastic meal. And, of course, the eyes going to light up and the stomach's going to begin to jump. And, man, you're already thinking about all of this stuff. And she does it, but she fixes a meal of every dish and everything that you totally despise and can't stomach. So the process was sounded good, amen, but the end results were not good. So it makes you think, well, was she just getting even with me, or did she really think that I would automatically begin to like all of these things that I've never liked before? And this was what was happening. Israel, as a nation, was fasting. You know, if we could get the church, just the small body of people that are here today, to fast according to the will of God and fast for the right thing and fast for a move of God, we would begin to see the effects, amen, of the prayers and the fasting and the petitions that are going up, and God would begin to release his power. God would begin to deliver. He would begin to send the Holy Ghost down, and I believe a lot of folks would be affected if we could get a group of people in one mind and one accord fasting and praying for a mighty move of God. But this was not the case. The fasting part sounded good. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah, in verse 4 of that same chapter, God is speaking to Isaiah to tell the people, said, "Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord?" In other words, you may have thought that it was the right thing to do, but God is not pleased with your fast. So if we just declare that we're going to fast, We need to fast about those things that are pleasing unto God. Here, they were fasting about God, strike the enemies down. God, do take up my purpose or my on behalf of me and vindicate me. And they were fasting for strife for their enemy and debating and all of these terrible things. So that lets me know that probably they were not fasting in the right spirit, nor praying in the right spirit. And I don't want to see that happening today. I don't believe God wants to see that happening. I think it would be more fruitful for us to fast, Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Strengthen me to be able, God, to witness for you, to be able to carry the banner high. God, to help the church grow, to help the body grow, rather than, God, strike vengeance on this one, or God, do harm to this one, or whatever. Because God was not pleased with the fruits of that fast. The fast may be well intended, but the events of it or the final part of it was not pleasing unto God. And God so chose to speak to Isaiah and said in verse number 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke." Let's just take that last scenario. If we could get a group of people fasting and praying for God to break every yoke, whatever that yoke is, that yoke of addiction, that yoke of anxiety, that yoke of disbelief, that yoke of fear. And don't you believe or don't doubt for one moment that Satan has not placed fear on people today. Fear is at a rampant. It's all-time high. People are afraid of almost everything. But we as children of God need to declare that we know that God is greater than anything that we face. Any problem, any issue, any situation. Lord, help us to pray to break the bonds or to break those yokes of fear. Break those yokes, amen, of addiction and all of those things that are running rampant in the world today. That's what the Lord said you fast for. And then in verse number 10, "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday." So fasting is good, but fast according to what the Lord would have us to do, or would have you to do. And if we are obedient, and if we fast and pray and petition God in the right spirit, and in the right way, then he tells us that the Lord shall guide thee continually. How many knows that we need a guide through this world? I need guidance each and every day of my life in decision making and direction in my life. And even as Sister Penny was talking about, even when those days when everything is going bad and problems are rising, you can't get over one issue till there's another one, we need continual guidance. And God said, "I will guide you continually." That means perpetually. That means each and every day, through the good times, through the bad, over the mountains, through the valley, through the floods that overflow us, we know that we have a God continually leading us in every avenue and facet of our life. And then he goes on to say, "And satisfy thy soul in drought." I believe that if you would take a survey of Christians today, most Christians would probably agree that we seem to be in a spiritual drought. Not necessarily that the church has been disobedient. Not that the church has backslidden. Not that the church is not trying and seeking the will of God. But there is a spiritual drought because Satan knows, I believe, that his time is drawing very near. And he's bringing out all of the artillery. Now, he has been fighting this battle for a long, long time. But I believe even Satan realizes that the current events denotes that there is about to be an army. Amen. An army like we've never seen before. Not just an army of military, but I believe an army with angels with flaming swords, just like the ones that the prophet told his servant. Said, go look again. I know you see the enemy. And church, I want to tell you, go look again. We see what's wrong. We see what's surrounding us. But through eyes of spirit, eyes, look who's got them surrounded. Look who's standing around ready with drawn swords, amen, to protect the church, to lift up the church, amen, and satisfy, glory to God, thy soul even in drought, and make fat thy bones, meaning giving us plenty. I believe that not only means spiritual, but I believe he will supply our very needs materialistically. I believe that God will do that. We refer to the meal barrel so many times. But you know, sometimes I think we get panicky when that meal barrel's not full. We say, Lord, you know, what are we going to do next year? What are we going to do if this happens? But if there's always just enough. Come on, somebody. If always, you just dip into that meal barrel and it runs dry. It's never, ever empty. There's always enough. And that doesn't only mean material things. That means our everyday walk with the Lord. He will sustain us each and every day of our life. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. You ever seen a freshly watered garden? After a long time of drought, and how alive it seems, and how refreshing, and it almost seems like the very petals on the plants are just praising God for that rain, that natural rain. I believe it's going to rain on the church. I believe there's going to come a latter rain. I believe with all of my heart, when we begin to put our faith and trust truly and absolutely in God and not man, or not any party or affiliation, not somebody that's going to do something to turn everything around, but look to God who's going to supply our needs, I believe it's going to be like the latter rain that's pouring out on the church. And I believe the church, I mentioned it other night, the prophet said, told Ahab, he said, run and get ready, go down and eat and drink, because I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Amen. Before he ever even felt a drop, before he ever even went to Mount Carmel and prayed, he said, I already hear it. Oh, if we get a group of people with faith like that, and we may not hear the thunder, we may not see the first raindrop, but because that we're submissive and obedient to God, I hear an abundance of rain. I hear an abundance of healing. I hear an abundance of the Spirit of God pouring out in this day and hour that we're living in. And then finally he gets to where I really want to go tonight. Not only like a watered garden, but like a spring of water whose waters fail not, even in the drought. Back where we lived for so many years, Dad is on Dad's property, and he had a lake, and that lake was fed by a spring. But that spring was also fed by what many people referred to a wet weather spring. Meaning that water only gushed out of those little holes and those little tributaries when the rainy season was there. But when the rainy season stopped, the water stopped. Or either it went down so far into the ground that it was not able to come up and feed the stream that fed the lake. But there was a spring that it may get down low. Everything else was drying up. It may not be as full of water as it once was, but that little spring kept churning water enough to feed that big old lake. Amen. They tell me that when a lake gets full, it doesn't take a whole lot of water to keep that lake going. But even when that lake would drop down, even when the wet weather springs would dry up, you know what that means? Even when those who are not dedicated, those who are not committed and let everything worry them and they quit by the wayside, there's still a remnant. There's still a spring. There's still a well of living water that's bubbling up that's never ever going to run dry. Church, I believe that is the remnant that God is talking to. It doesn't matter how dry it gets out there. It doesn't matter how spiritualist we see in the world today. There is a church. There is a people. There is a body that's still bubbling. Amen. That's still flowing. And it's never ever going to run dry. Oh, if you're thankful for that, give the Lord praise in the house tonight. A well that never runs dry doesn't say it completely fills up. It says it never runs dry. Amen. Give me a saint of God who's in it for the endurance unto the end. The race is not to the swiftest. It's to he that endureth to the end. Glory to God. What am I talking about? I'm talking about maybe when you don't feel like running, at least you feel like walking. Even when things are not going your way, you're still making progress. It may be what we used to refer to as baby steps. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my spiritual walk with God, that's all I could muster was just baby steps. Kind of think of looking around saying, I don't know what's going on, but I know I've come too far. I can't go back. Amen. God has delivered me from that. There's nothing back there that I want to go to. There's nothing but a pain and affliction and misery. I don't want to go back to that. And maybe I'm not running like I once was when I first got the Holy Ghost and got saved. But that's all right. I'm still gaining ground. It may be just a little bit. There may be just a little trickling of the water in the well. But praise God, it hasn't gone dry yet. When everything else is drying up, the church still ought to be flowing with that living water that only Christ can give. Think about it. A well that never runs dry. He said in verse 12, they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Church, we need to get away from saying, boy, how we used to be blessed of God. How we used to see miracles. I want to tell you, God has not changed. We know that we serve a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So the change must have been in the body of Christ. It must have been in us. Amen. But it's time to build back those waste places. Those places that Satan has come down and tore down in your life. You really want to get victory over Satan? Take back something. He's already is stolen from you. Build it back up where he tore it down. So you know what? I may not run as fast as I did, but I'm still moving forward. Hallelujah. The church has to take back what the adversary has destroyed, tore down in our life. Whether that be a loved one that Satan has pulled them away. Whether that be a spouse, a child, whatever it is, or somebody that you work with, or maybe a blessing in your life that somehow Satan has destroyed. You know, I was reading last week about Job, and so many sermons have been preached about Job, but there is a striking phrase in many, but one that really I dwelt on a couple of weeks ago. You know, we all know the story of how wealthy Job was. In fact, they list it. How many animals he had, how many different kind of animals, all the land and the children and everything he had. And the adversary come and begin to strip away all of those things that was near and dear to him except his walk with God. Satan could not take that. And after Job was sitting there, and after he had lost all of these things, you know, he made the statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because, and many scholars have tried to analyze that saying, thinking that Job was giving up. He said, Lord, just take my life. But there were some scholars that said, no, I think it was the exact opposite. Job was telling Satan, and we say it today like this, I'm a winner either way. Job just chose to say it this way. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, I'm going to live for God here, and if I die, I'm going to live with him there. Amen. There's nothing that you can touch that I'm going to have for an eternity. Oh, a mindset like that would let us know that we are in fact a well that will never run dry. Even in dry times. Even in spiritual droughts. And folks, they do come. Amen. Not because God is not powerful. Not because His Spirit is still not real. Let's just face it. There's times we become almost stagnant in our worship of God. In our praise of God. Because our mind is on all that's going wrong and everything that's affecting us. Rather than, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you, and yet will I serve you. Because I've got nothing. Naked I came into this world. I'm going to leave it the same way. Naked I leave it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you're talking about making adversary mad. You talk about upsetting Satan. Satan can't stand it when you say it's just material things. Come on. Glory to God. Because you can't touch what God has given me through the infilling of His Spirit. Makes me walk through dry places and not give up. It makes me continue even when situations around me are drying up and dying. But yet, there's a little well that never runs dry. Almost the same analogy. Had you rather have a meal barrel that's full or one that never runs out? Had you rather have a gushing water source that gives you all the force in the world and all of a sudden in dry season, it's gone? Or would you rather just have a steady, committed stream that never runs dry? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, create that in me. Let it bubble. Let it flow. Let it rise up within me. Let me go on a reserve. I've got to tell you this. It just, you know, the Lord brings things to your mind. And Susan's here tonight. Her older sister, Judy. I think it was her or might have been one of her aunts. But she was in third grade. The reason I know she was in third grade is because Miss Campbell was her teacher. And it was either Judy or one of her aunts, someone by the last name of Seals, said, I need to go get water. And Miss Campbell said, no, you can wait till the recess, wait till the break. You're always going getting water. You're not going to go get water now. And she said, Miss Campbell said, I can go from break to break and not have to get water. How come you have to go ever so often just to get water? She said, well, Campbell's can go 3 days on one drink of water, but Seals practically live in it. You remember that? You don't remember that? Camels can store it in their hump. So in the third grade, I thought that was a pretty good comeback. Satan's telling you, come on, it's dry. Satan's, you know what he said? God don't love you. He don't care anything about you. If he would, he wouldn't let you get in the situation. He wouldn't let things happen all the time if God really loved you. But he does love us. Amen. Enough to infill and instill within us a well that never, ever runs dry. Even in the dry season. Now in the rainy season, of course, it builds up. Don't we like those rainy seasons? Don't you love it when God just pours His Spirit out and you just kind of go home on a cloud nine, just glorify, just sleep like a little baby and, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, praise God. And then, you know, it ain't 2 or 3 days later, man alive, we done used up all that water. But you know what? If you've got that ever-flowing living well of water, that's what the Jesus, I'm the living water.
that never runs dry. We can always bank on that. We can always count on it. Amen. Because even in dry seasons, it's still going to run. Amen. I'm not telling you that we're never going to have dry seasons. We are. But that water that Isaiah was talking about, that God spoke through Isaiah and told the children of Israel, said, if you'll fast in the right way, if you'll fast for a greater walk with me, if you'll fast for breaking yokes and humbling yourself down rather than vindication and vengeance on your enemies and on the other people, if you'll just live for me and fast and pray for me, it'll be like a well that never runs dry. A watered garden. Actually, his words was a spring of water whose waters fail not, runs forever and ever. Amen. And then the Lord comes and takes us to that glorious place. How many is looking for a time when we shall never have any more dry seasons whatsoever? Amen. Isn't heaven going to be great? Do you love the Lord tonight? Give Him praise. God bless you. Love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your attentiveness and thank you for your faith. And I really feel like the church is feeling the effects of you prayer warriors. I truly believe that. We've had some wonderful services lately, and it's not by anything that we do, but it's because that people's hearts and minds are on God when they come into the church. And if we can do that and continue to do that, God will continue to bless this congregation and anoint. And we'll begin to see mighty works in the house of God. Because God is ready. God's able. I believe He's wanting to do things. But He needs faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the door of so many blessings. Amen. Would you stand? If you have a need tonight, please come to the altar. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you and anoint you tonight. Because we believe that God is able. Amen. We believe that He is a healer. He is a deliverer, amen, and He breaks the yokes that have us bound. Praise God. You elders, come around.
So that they even say that people get into certain habits. And all. My brain tells me that I always shave my right. I know that don't make any sense. But you get into such a habit of doing it. You know why I did it?
My hands are like, I'm doing this.
The tremors will be gone as well. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
moonshine, in case you don't know, but the Word of God is true, and everything He's promised, He will do it for you. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Talking about that spring. You got those wet weather springs, but I know some of you have been up in the mountains or up in the outside, and when you just take that, your cup, that just your hands, that cold, cold water comes out of those mountains just as pure as can be. The Lord, just continue just to refresh us in that way. Praise the Lord. Continue to worship the Lord this evening. If anyone else has a prayer request, yes, ma'am. Absolutely, absolutely. And all of our families as we go through that, absolutely. But we'll definitely lift up Adam. Praise God. Yes, Miss Elaine.
Sunday night, I kept standing here when people were down asking for prayer. And it's like I had the worst migraine ever. And I my heart was like beating out of my chest. And it's like the Lord kept putting Mason so heavy on my heart that I needed to pray for him. And I had talked to him earlier, and I knew he was at work, and he was fine, but I could not get past it. And I kept saying, but Lord, here I go to the altar again. These people are going to think I must live at the altar. But it was like I could not get past it. And praise the Lord, he didn't let go of me. And so we went on home, and later on that evening, he was taking a friend home. They were leaving work, and he was taking a friend home. And he went around a curve. He says he wasn't speeding, but anyway, he lost control, flipped his car several times, and ended up in a ditch. He hit his head. He has a real bad bump on his head and scraped up and all, but they're both fine. They're just sore. But I just wonder, God is so good and merciful. Why, if I had ignored that? There's no telling where that child would be tonight.
Amen.
So I'm just so thankful that he didn't give up on me.
Amen.
And that I listened to him. And I know people are wanting to go home, but I'm so excited. The young boy, well, he's a man that I work with. He works in the warehouse. He's been in the hospital since the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And I've asked for prayer for him. Well, I actually got to talk to him. He called, and he's going to get to go to rehab. They've got him off the ventilator. They've got him off dialysis. His kidneys have started working. And he's hoping within a couple of weeks he'll get to go to. And he kept saying, he says, Elaine, I felt your prayers. He says, I knew you were praying. And I said, Doug, it's nothing I did. I said, it's our Lord. And I said, he says, well, I've known the Lord. He said, but I haven't lived for him. He says, so once I get back, he says, can we talk? Will you tell me about that Jesus that you talk about? And it's nothing me. It's not me, y'all. Please don't think I'm saying anything. It's God. And I'm just so thankful that because there was a point for about 2 weeks ago, they didn't think he was going to pull through. I mean, that's how bad he was. But I just want to praise the Lord for answering prayer. And I want to just thank him for having me in his hands and that I listened.
Praise God. Thank you for that. How important is it to obey God when he puts something on our heart?
Amen.
That is great.
It is so important. And I can say this is, we saw the pictures. We didn't hear about the wreck till the next day, but the pictures of Mason's car on its roof, and it looked like the roof was crushed, but God placed it where there was a ditch, and it was like from fender to fender, but the center part where they were was open. So the car, you know, of course the car's gone, but that can be replaced. But now, you know, just go through this point and just continue to praise God and just for all that he does. Praise the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. I just can't. I know I ask y'all to do this all the time, but I hope you're doing it from your heart. I think we just need to worship the Lord for a minute, and then we'll have our dismissal prayer. Dear Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, you know what we need and when we need it. Dear Lord, we thank you for answering prayers. Lord, we thank you for always standing in the gap for us, dear Lord, for always leading us, dear Lord. Lord, we thank you for your protection, for your mercy, your grace. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord, I ask you to bless each and every one here, Lord, with the teens, with the young people downstairs, dear Lord, and every situation. Bless their homes, dear Lord, for all the prayers that are going up, dear Lord. And we're praying for those lost souls. Dear Lord, through all these storms in life that we go through in life, dear Lord, we just ask for your word to go forth, dear Lord, to touch those that are lost. And, dear Lord, let them turn their life around, dear Lord, and call on your name. and Lord, and be saved. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise God.